It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Great pleasure to be with you. We're going to continue our conversation about politics. We bring in a great friend, Conrad Black, former chairman of Hollinger International, founding director of the New York Sun, and I will say personally a brilliant columnist and op-ed writer. Conrad, thank you for this. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry, and thanks for your generous introduction of me.
No, you're. I wish I could write as well as Conrad Black. That's all I'll say. It's fantastic. And I want to read, this is your piece from a couple of days ago in the New York Sun. As the wheels come off the Biden administration, the incumbent's reelection strategy relies on prosecuting Trump, okay, which I agree with. Let me just read this and then we'll talk. As the Biden administration has faltered in inflation, tax increases, profligate spending, foreign embarrassment, the hobbling of American industry, and sharp cost of living increases caused by the regime's fixation on doomsday climate change, skyrocketing crime rates, an inflow of 8 million to 10 million illegal immigrants, support for it is evaporating. I think that says it all. We saw Biden, you know, Thursday night, State of the Union, with a kind of counter strategy. But all the things you mentioned here, which many of us have been highlighting, I mean, it has to give Trump a decisive advantage at this stage of the game.
Well, that's how it looks to me. And, I thought on Thursday the president was pitching it entirely to his own people and showing that trying to show he was still vigorous. And in that, he may have been successful. But to attack the Supreme Court like that, and, you know, I've been probably like yourself, Larry, I've been watching these State of the Union messages since President Eisenhower's time, and nobody ever talked about their opponents before. I mean, it's not done. You know, you're giving the State of the Union, not a campaign speech. And I think it actually, because some of his comments were so extreme, basically comparing Trump to Hitler. That's their line. You know, it was Hitler to Putin to Trump, but they were all sort of, you know, one equals the other, which is all complete rubbish, of course. But I think it gives President Trump an opportunity to be the comparative moderate. Instead of putting people on off by a kind of jarring partisanship or bluntness of expression, he has a chance to take the inside track here and leave Joe Biden out on the fringes screaming and shrieking a lot of nonsense, you know? I mean, we had Trump as president. You may like him or not like him, but it wasn't Hitler.
I always thought, watching Mr. Trump this past year, I mean, he's been pretty much, Conrad, sticking to the issues, which has, I think, helped propel him into the position of strength, political strength he has right now. But to your point, Biden was so extreme and bellicose the other night. Yeah, he probably achieved one goal, that he could stand up and be bellicose for an hour and a half or an hour, and that would quiet the voices of replacement in his own party. But Trump becomes the common sense candidate, Conrad. You know, Trump's the guy who wants to keep the tax cuts. Trump's the guy who said, we're not going to go back to inflation. We're not going to tell you can't buy a gasoline car. We are going to go back to closing the border and stopping the crime. I mean, those are, you know, polling wise, those are like 80%, 85%, 90% issues, favorable issues for Trump. He's the common sense guy. Biden's the extremist.
I agree exactly. And also, in a good way, he's kind of a strong man. I don't mean authoritarian, but strength and consistency. I mean, I think people sense that part of the problem with Ukraine, part of the problem with Israel, part of the problem that may be there with Taiwan, is a perception of American weakness and vacillation. I think Trump projects and has the track record to show it, I mean, you know, this is the first election between two people who've served as president since Cleveland. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, Teddy Roosevelt and Taft. But and then, of course, Wilson won. But at least you know what you've got with Trump. There has been a problem with Biden saying one thing and doing something else and sounding strong but being ambiguous.
What do you think, Conrad Black? One of the themes that Ms. Trump has put out there is success is the best revenge. She's arguing that my policies will succeed in restoring the country, restoring law and order, restoring the border, restoring the economy, restoring our prestige overseas, and that those successful policies will unify the country. What do you think of that message?
I think it's basically true, but I think it's a very effective response to this effort by the Democrats to say, you know, if he comes in, he's going to terrorize the country. Mm. He's going to do, they don't quite put it this way, precisely what we're trying to do to him. He will mobilize the prosecution service of the Justice Department to attack all of his enemies. In other words, he would commit a heinous offense that they are now committing. And I think it's the best possible response to it.
You know,
I'm sorry. You see, I don't think he would be believable as a turn the other cheek guy.
Right.
So what he says is, no, my revenge is success.
I think that's right. I mean, a lot of us who work for him really like that. We call it the unity theme, but the unity success theme. And
yeah.
If you look at these polls, I mean, polls are not votes, but they are snapshots of opinion. You know, you got all these working minority groups, African-Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, whites, of course, women. They did better under Trump than they've done under Biden. And I think they like to be reminded by Trump of those successes, whereas Biden is reminding them of stuff that went all wrong.
I agree. You see, furthermore, I think, now you tell me if I'm talking through my hat here, but I think that historically the polls have underestimated Trump by several, except for Rasmussen and Trafalgar, because they're all conducted, all the others, by left-wing universities or left-wing media outlets, or the two cooperating. And in addition to that, if you factor in that on the Republican side, Texas, Ohio, and let's say Texas, Florida, and Missouri, for example, are about as many electoral votes as California and New York. But the Democrats take those last two states by 4 million more votes than the Republican plurality in the first three, and add that to the rest of the country. I think Trump's leading by about 10% in 45 states.
Mm.
I mean, as a group.
I think that's defensible. I mean, polling stuff is so tricky, Conrad, but I think that's one thing I like is the Trump numbers are holding up in the so-called swing states. That's a good thing. To me, that's more important, you know, than the national horse race. And I like his numbers. I mean, some of these states are close, but some of these, I mean, he has a strong lead when you take him in the aggregate.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this. You would be closer to this than I am. The Republicans are trying to play catch-up football in, harvesting votes and collecting them and getting them signed and things. Do you think that they've narrowed the gap in that area?
Well, I think their whole operation is going to be better, Conrad. Whenever I see the operatives, I call them the operatives. I don't mean to say that in a demeaning way. They're friends of mine, and they're very important. But whenever I see the election campaign operatives, that's all I talk about when they come on my TV show or whatever, or just in person. And to a person, they all say, we're going to be much stronger. You know, the president doesn't like this, but the fact remains you're going to have early balloting and you're going to have harvesting. So the Republican side has got to be ready for that. Now, that word ready is a charged word, but you know what I'm.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got to be able to, all the tricks the Democrats play, the GOP's got to learn it. And I think they're going to do better. But you know what? I get a little nervous about that.
Yeah, so do I. Well, some of the states have tightened the rules a bit, I believe, like Georgia, for example.
Yep.
I don't think there's any chance that I shouldn't say any chance, but not much chance the Democrats can take Georgia again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee. Similar outcomes.
Conrad Black, let me ask you one last one. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. On the legal thing, I mean, your column is basically saying the only thing the Democrats have going is prosecuting Trump. This is the lawfare, sabotaging the courts, two-tier justice system, throw him in jail for 700 years. What do you think about that right now? Where's the impact? Do you think that's a decisive impact, indecisive impact, no impact at all? What do you think?
I think there's an element in the upcoming election of a referendum between those who are appalled at the perversion and politicization of the justice system and those who simply can't bear the thought of another Trump term. And I think the first group is becoming steadily more numerous. And this collapse of Ms. Willis, or whatever her name is, in Georgia, and I think the Supremes are clearly pushing things back on Smith allegations. I'm surprised the Bragg case is still there because it's so preposterous. But I think it's a bit of a squeaker, and there's still traditionalists who say, as you and I would have said 20 years ago, right? Well, if the president's indicted, this is a serious business. But a great many of them, an apparent majority, see that the seriousness of it is the corruption of the system, not the turpitude of the accused.
100%. Absolutely right. Conrad Black, thank you ever so much. Folks, among his many talents, he's a columnist in the New York Sun, founding director of the New York Sun. We appreciate it, Mr. Black.
Talk soon. We hope to see you back in the administration.
Well, we'll talk. Anyway, I'm Kudlow, folks. We're going to take a quick break. And the other side of the break, lovely brand new book by my pal Craig Shirley, Reagan. Let's get the right title. In Search for Reagan. It's another great Ronald Reagan book by one of Reagan's great biographers. I'm Kudlow. Craig Shirley on the other side.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.